Whenever you are.
Okay. Well, the order and establishment of a quorum. I'm Leslie Liljenberg, Chair of the Board. Today is June 26, 2026, and the time is 10 a.m. I now call to order this meeting of the Board of Directors of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. This meeting is being held in person at the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301, Pflugerville, Texas, 78660. Board members were notified of this board meeting on May 28, 2026. Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division of the Texas Department of Insurance or the Deputy Commissioner's Delegate were notified of this meeting June 16, 2026. In accordance with Section 2C2 of the SLTX Plan of Operation. Notice of this meeting was published in the Texas Register on June 18, 2026, in accordance with Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code. A conference call-in number was provided to members of the public in the public notice meeting. I will now call the roll to confirm which board members are participating in today's meeting via Teams or in person. Jeff Klein. He's present. He's going to come in. Okay. Nick Lawrence. Okay, right. Peter Harrison. Leah Bennett.
Present via Teams.
Ryan Bridges.
Present via Teams.
Jim Bishop.
Present via Teams.
Jason Cables.
Present via Teams. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Kyle Rogers.
Present.
A quorum of five or more members is present pursuant to Texas Government Code 551-125B2 and Plan of Operations Section 2C6. The following stamping office management staff, council, consultants, and liaisons are present. Please affirm your attendance for the record when I call your name. Greg Brandon, Executive Director.
Present.
Toby Pick, Director of Policy Intake and Analysis.
Present.
Yolanda Stone, Director of ITS.
Present.
Ronnie Ford, Director of Finance.
Present.
And then Denise
Mesquita.
Mesquita is here. And then, okay, so you're present. And then I need you to please identify the additional stamping office staff members participating via Teams.
Via Teams is Dalton Moore, Christian Porter, Robin Porter, Rodolfo Camarena, and Yuba Dahal. And in person is Marissa Gomez.
Yes. Are there any liaisons or consultants attending? Are any representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance, the Texas Comptroller, or legislative offices attending in person or by telephone?
Your company licensing at TDI?
Dot office of council, so TDI.
Thank you. Before we get started, I have a few housekeeping item reminders. Antitrust activity or discussion are prohibited at all stamping office functions. This prohibition includes the exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claim settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operation. We will not have a public comment session. Public and media attendees listening by telephone should mute their lines at all times. Representatives of state agencies and members of the public are welcome to observe or record this board meeting, but please refrain from asking questions or interjecting comments during the board's deliberations. The state agency personnel present may be asked questions about their agency's policies if those questions relate to an agenda item. Members, council, and staff should identify themselves by full name when speaking. Please mute your microphone or telephone when not speaking. So agenda number two, discussion and appropriate approval of March 27, 2026 meeting minutes. Everyone was provided a copy of the March 27, 2026 meeting minutes. Are there any corrections?
Just joined.
Okay. We need to make record that Pete Harrison just joined in. Meeting.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the March 27, 2026 minutes?
So moved.
And that was, I'm sorry, it's Ryan. And
yeah, that
I need,
was right.
That's okay. I need a second, please.
Just a
second.
I'll second.
I heard Jason first. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. Ayes have it, and the motion passes. Agenda item number 3, F&A committee report. And at this time, I will open the floor to Mrs. Ronnie Ford, Director of Finance, to lead the discussion regarding the 2026 year-to-date financial review.
Thank you, Leslie. The Finance and Audit Committee met earlier today, June 26th at 9 o'clock a.m. The following presentations were reviewed and were appropriately voted approximately on the recommendation that will be presented to the board related to the 2026 financial year-to-date and reserve balances, along with the 2026 pension financial. So I'm going to start by going over the budget versus actual for May of 2026. If you look, we have stamp fees revenue of $110,622, which is 15% under budget for May, and $234,953, which is 7% year-to-date under budget. Investment income is $12,756, which is 10% under budget for May, and $27,142 under budget, which is 4% year-to-date. Mainly this is due to the lower return on investment than expected because of the economy. Operating expense is $935,365, which is 64% under budget for May, and $932,591, 22% under budget year-to-date. Salaries and benefits, which is $931,778, which is 72% under budget for May, and $857,305 year-to-date. Annual pension, this number includes the annual pension fund balance of May, which was budgeted in May of $869,242, and we'll review that later in the presentation. Professional services is $4,705, which is 17% under budget for the month, and $12,845, which is 7% over budget year to date. For we have our lemon light payment for January. We normally pay it in January, but it was actually budgeted throughout the year for the 12 months. Conference and education is $170, 8% under budget for May, and $14,064, which is 40% under budget year-to-date due to the timing of budgeted conferences. Travel and entertainment is $4,204, which is 100% under budget for the month of May, and $28,421, which is 66% under budget year-to-date. Occupation and operation expense is $42, which is under budget for May, and $32,928, which is 17% under budget year-to-date. General and administrative expenses is $12,847, 12% over budget for May, and $7,915, which is 1% over year-to-date. Contingency funds not used resulted in savings of $19,427 for the month and $20,644 year-to-date. And then the operating income for May was $229,606 year-to-date. The organization recorded an operating income of $562,546, which is more than the budgeted loss of $107,950. The budget loss for May alone was $582,954. And then the total income and loss is $792,560, which is 136% because we actually budgeted a loss. And we actually had a gain. And the year-to-date is $434,415, which is a 402%. We actually budgeted for a loss versus the gain. So if we're done there, I'm going to move on to the fund balance. And if you have any questions, we can ask those questions after. So the fund balance, beginning balance in January of 2025 was $32.8 million. Year-to-date, net income of $326,466 resulted in a fund balance of May 31st of $33.1 million, which is $16.9 million over current maximum. The projected year-end maximum fund balance is $13.4 million, still $17.9 million above the limit, currently $1.7 million over projected maximum fund balance. The 2025 year-to-date updated presentation. So this is all of the May actual financial statements. Are there any questions for May 2026?
Anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I think you touched on this, but just related to the pension payment, that was budgeted for May, but will occur later, and that was the reason for the positive variance.
Yeah, we'll go over the pension in just a few seconds.
Thank you.
Okay.
But you're right, that's why it was so large.
Okay, is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Ms. Ford, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
I don't.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ford. I'd like to take a minute. We need to add Michael Lord. And Jeff McWirt. I apologize that you were missed on the roll call and the script. So we'll add you next time. But can you please?
Here by teams.
Okay. And Jeff?
Yep, here by teams. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Sorry to have missed you.
No worries. Thanks.
Let's see here then. Okay, so we will now discuss the 2026 pension funding. Ms. Ford, the floor is yours.
So, of course, the pension. So we had, as Jason mentioned earlier, that we actually budget for the pension in the month of May. So it's time for us to review the pension. So we had the actuarial do an analysis for us. We budgeted $869,242 in May, and that was what we actually paid last year. So the actuarial performed our analysis for 2026. And she found that the IRS minimum contribution is zero. We don't really have to contribute anything, but the actuarial recommended a contribution range. The minimum is $722,000 and the maximum range is $895,889. So we also asked them to perform how much it would be for us to pay off the pension. And they said paying off the pension resulted in a $7 million reduction. Any questions?
Who was the actuary?
It's a company called Nova 401k. Nova.
Okay.
They handle.
Do we use them for other stuff or just?
Correct.
Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Okay. Not Ms. Ford. Do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
Yes, I recommend the board approve the recommendation of the 22 paying off the 22 payment pension for the maximum amount of $895,080.
I will make that motion.
Okay. And then do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Steph Klein. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. All right, we have agenda item number 4, executive director report and appropriate action. I will now open the floor to Mr. Greg Brandon, executive director, to present agenda item number 4.
Great. Thank you, Leslie. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for attending. As you know, I like to start off with a company overview. Not too many changes, but some changes in development. So as you can see, the organization hasn't really changed. We still have 4 pillars, and maybe Christian still stands alone. So Toby still handles all the policy intake, along with the operations team and staff. Sholanda is our director of IT and all of the folks that develop and maintain SMART and all the other systems that we use. Ronnie is our finance director with Ming and Yuba, and Denise is our HR person along with Marissa. Now, the change here is you can see, and I've got it under Denise for now because Denise handles all the hiring. We do have 3 open positions. So we're going to hire an AI software developer. So the things that we've talked about in the past regarding Microsoft and the large language model tool that they've developed for us, we're going to hire somebody to help us manage that and also integrate it into SMART over time. We don't have that expertise in-house, so we're going to go out and find it and integrate it into all of our systems to the best of our ability. We also have an opening for a UAT person, And probably last on the list as far as timing goes will be a communications and education coordinator. We are hoping to hire all three of those this year, but definitely the two IT spots in the coming weeks, quite frankly. So we've got to get through some summer vacations and stuff like that so that we can get everybody fully on board, and have everybody here before we start doing interviews and getting everybody on board. But some of the hiring will be completed right before that starts, and then some of it will happen right after. So by the time we have this meeting again in September, there should be some new names on this company. I'm excited by that. So on the next slide, let's just step into year-to-date premium first. As you can see, through May, we have $7.9 billion reported to us. Probably nothing really surprising here month over month. It's really probably the best way to characterize it is everything is going exactly like we planned it. We didn't think that the market was going to continue to grow from a premium perspective the way it had historically, and that's pretty much playing out exactly like we expected, with the exception of March. You can see we had our first $2 billion month of reported premium in March. That was a bit of a surprise and kind of unique. We had not had that happen before, but frankly, we digested all of that information without issue. So it all worked out well for us, but it was a new record for any month for this company. We had never seen a $2 billion month. Everything else is not setting records. You can see the gold line. Gold line is 2026 year to date, and the blue bars are all the previous years. So generally speaking, the gold line is somewhere just below the previous year, with the exception of March. So we're still seeing big numbers. Don't get me wrong. $1.5, $1.7 billion is a lot of premium reported to us, but not quite the 10 to 15% growth every like we'd seen in previous years. So the real story is the next couple of slides. We'll talk about item count and policy count. So you can see same story here. Gold line is 2026, and all the bars below it are the previous years. And every month for both item count and policy count has been a record for that month. And as you can see, these are numbers that we have never experienced. So you can see the, as a matter of fact, why don't you, Marissa, why don't you go to the policy count slide, and we'll just start with that, because that's, these are things we've never seen. So if you go back even 2025 and any time before that, the highest number on that chart was July of 2025, which was about 88,000. So we had never seen more than 88,000 policies reported to us in any month prior to this year. And this year it happened 4 out of 5 months. And 2 of those months have been over 100,000 policies. So while premium growth has stalled, the real story for us anyway as an organization is that the business is really picking up. And we'll get to, well, I'll tell you what, let's go to the next slide and I'll just kind of touch on that. So keep that in mind as we start here. The real growth is in new policies, and it is residential lines of coverage is the largest growth factor. Now, the difference is, right, when you're looking at premium by line of business, commercial liability, commercial property, commercial multi-peril. So all the commercial lines are still the high dollar lines. And so if you look at it strictly from a premium perspective, nothing is changing with regards to this organization and the industry in Texas. The high dollar, high value premium is still embedded in all the commercial lines. And that's still the bread and butter for surplus lines in the state of Texas. Now, what's growing are the residential lines, and they're harder to reflect here. So if you went back to that previous chart, they're not reflected in the total numbers, but most of the growth in new policies is residential lines of coverage. Now, that's more than just homeowners, like you see reflected here. Homeowners is the key. That's what people most closely relate residential insurance to, but residential can count for a lot more than just the actual homeowner. You might be the homeowner, but you might be buying it because it's an Airbnb or something like that. So there's a lot of commercial type coverage for residents. So they still fit in this market a little better than the admitted market. And there is some homeowner, true homeowners like you and I would buy for our own houses in here as well. But those are usually very high value homes, and they're it is still growing. There's a lot of homeowners that are just struggling to find available admitted carriers for wherever their house is located. But when we say residential, we try to use that term carefully, simply because residential means more than just homeowners. So it's a little bit broader. But that is definitely where we're seeing policy growth. Now, you're not going to see it really. It's kind of buried in the premium, right? So premium for homeowners and residential and things like that shouldn't just be as high as, you know, so just relate it to a property coverage for a large commercial building, right? A 50,000 square foot warehouse premium is going to be higher than a 2,000 square foot resident. So that's, or condo or whatever, however way you want to look at it. So, but when you're looking at growth, we're seeing a lot of unusual growth in the residential lines that we have not seen in previous years. So, but every year is unique, right? So this just adds to the growth in the surplus lines market. The industry is responding to the needs of the folks in Texas that need insurance for their properties. So it's a little bit more than just commercial, but still, as I mentioned, commercial insurance is the bread and butter for all surplus lines market. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or questions for Mr. Brandon regarding this agenda item? Any questions? Mr. Brandon, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will move to agenda item 5, policy and intake analysis, director report, and appropriate action. At this time, we have Toby Pick, director of policy and intake analysis, to present this item.
Forward for your record keeping. So sorry to interrupt. I want to make sure that it's on the record that from SLTX team members, Jennifer Dickey and Ruben Olivares has since joined.
Christian Robinson.
And Christian Robinson.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Good morning, everybody. So today I will provide a brief operations update covering staff updates, our 2026 late filing premium activity, and a video developed through Lemonlight regarding smart user profile and password maintenance.
She was still
writing down the week.
So today's operation update includes three areas. First, I will provide a brief staff update. And second, I'll review the late filing year to year. Well, it'll be monthly and then year to year, and I'll do a little comparison. And then finally, like I said, we'll share all of the new Lemonlight highlights for the video. So as discussed during the previous meeting, the operations team partnered with Christian Robinson on a review of more than 700 policies to identify and capture Lloyd's syndicate participation percentages. Through this review, we determined that a portion of the policies require corrections to ensure the syndicate percentages are accurately reflected within our smart system. I am pleased to recognize Chantel Jackson for stepping forward and to lead this initiative. She developed a standardized communication process and drafted up a template that the team will use to ensure consistency regarding these specific corrections. Chantel, Kathy, and I collaborated to establish an approach focused on like education and awareness on this, and kind of like not our normal audit. And as a result, we elected not to impose correction deadlines. So this is like differentiating the effort from our traditional policy audit process, which we typically request corrections to be performed within 2 weeks of receiving their results. So our goal in this is for it to be informative correction process while maintaining data accuracy. So the operations team has also continued to advance several cross-training initiatives in partnership with our IT department. We are evaluating opportunities to repurpose and streamline functions currently managed through the smart optional upload folder. Encouraged by this process made thus far and look forward to the efficiencies and improvements that this collaboration will deliver. Additionally, we are proud to congratulate Tyler Perdue. He is a senior policy analyst. He just recently successfully completed the WSIA Marcus Payne Advanced ENS course in Chicago. It was earlier this month. This accomplishment presents a significant professional development and milestone for him. And it was also one of his goals for 2026. So I'm very proud of him. Oh, and he did want me to mention that his travel back was very delayed and he didn't get back into Austin until like 4 a.m. But they had like really bad weather, I guess, in Chicago on the day that he departed. So overall, the operations team continues to perform at a high level, and our team remains committed to expanding our expertise and serving as subject matter experts in the Texas surplus lines industry while supporting the organization's operational excellence and strategic objectives. So this slide is the 2026 monthly late filing premium and year-to-date premium. So the slide summarizes monthly the late filing premium associated with the year-to-date premium volume, and the chart provides like the monthly view. So I don't know if you can really tell by this chart, but I wanted to show you guys that in January it was over 62 million in late filed premium. February was a little over 76 million. March was a little over 38 million, and April was a little over 49 million. And May came in at a little over 43. So year to date for 2026 is $270,266,491 in late filed premium. And just to give you, I guess, something to kind of compare it to, as of the 2025 year to date, same time frame was $645 million. So let's see. Okay, so operations continues to monitor the late filing activity as a part of our compliance oversight efforts. These metrics provide valuable insight into filing behaviors and help us identify opportunities for outreach and education to help, you know, brokers and agents to file on time. We will continue tracking these trends throughout the year, and we will report any significant changes to the board. And my last slide, final operations update is a brief Lemon Light training video. So this video was developed to assist smart users while maintaining their user profiles and password information. So the training walks users through the process of updating profile information, managing account settings, and maintaining password security within our smart system. The objective of this video is to improve user self capabilities and reduce support request and promote stronger account security practices across the system. And I guess at this time I'll ask Marissa to play the video.
Okay. What's that sound?
You're muted. Yeah.
Can I take myself off?
There should be an option to share your sound at the top of this.
It says it is.
Oh, it's because you're muted.
Okay.
Let's try that again.
Do we need to mute the room and not?
That video was so good.
That you were still muted with the conference room, so nobody heard it.
Was I?
Yeah, you were still muted.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
There will be a replay at another time. We're good.
Nobody.
Okay. Well, we did. It's very good.
Anyway, we're very proud and
checked. Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. Very thankful for the partnership with Lemon Light. They definitely produce good videos. So that concludes the operations update, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Is there any further discussion or any questions at this time?
We couldn't hear it, but the visuals looked good.
Is there a
self-explanatory way we can send a link to everyone, and then they can that way you guys can watch it after the meeting?
The narrator just said what was typed on the screen. So.
Yeah. So, all right. If there is no further discussion, Mr. Pick, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
I do not.
Thank you for your presentation. And that was a good, it's a great video. Really nice. All right. We will move to agenda item 6, ITS director and appropriate action with an ITS update. And at this time, we have Shalonda Stone, director of ITS, to present the ITS director update.
Good morning. I kind of gave a little bit of the updates for the IT staff. Going forward, we have potentially one new person starting on Monday, and then we will be posting for the AI developer here when Denise returns. So really excited about that, really excited to keep the Microsoft project moving forward. We had a couple of the staff, we had one staff member go to training. We have some training coming up here in the later part of the year for the ITS team. So they have the Kansas City Developer Conferences. The developers will be attending that. There's an AI Collaboration Summit, Microsoft AI Collaboration Power Platform Summit, as a mouthful. That's coming up too. So we have some classes coming up towards the end of the year that I'm really excited about going forward. But that is kind of it for the updates, staff updates. I'm also going to go. So to talk about the releases, we were able to release 2506 on May 22nd. We notified everybody via the SLTX website to let them know that the that 2506 was published along with what was on the what was published inside of the release. So there were some internal DE bash update stuff, basics search result ordering, the smart stamping and payment history, the external user API upload history, the external renewal certificate availability, the installment transaction zip code fill was removed, the PN and NI, which is the policy number and name insured processing fix, and then the SLRP 100 date and time update was fixed. So that was just some of the things that were fixed in the update. There was also a few more, basically we call them technical debt stuff that was updated inside of that also. The next release we have coming up is 2601. We're diligently working to get that released. This mostly revolves around the updates and edits. We're releasing the first part of the updates and edits, which I'm pretty for sure everybody's excited about. I'm super excited and super excited for this update. I know Toby's team will be excited for it. It would give them some relief of not having to back out stuff and re-put it back in. This is just kind of the running status of what's going on with that update. And then for my last thing is the Microsoft proof of concept. We are in our second effort with this. We are just about done with the second effort of it. The first effort, I don't know if we touched on it, but basically we were in the final two with Microsoft for the running forward. Nobody won. Microsoft just declared that nobody was going to win the project. So the project kind of ended. So out of that effort, we were able to get 4 more additional Microsoft LLM efforts with no cost to us. So we have used 1 of the 4. So we still have 3 left. The 1 of the 4 we used was to extract syndicates, Lloyd's of London syndicates off of the policies, and we're just about done with that. I don't have any plans to pull the trigger on any of the final 3 just yet. We do have our AI person starting, hopefully sooner than later, so we'll kind of get more
deeper dive into that once we get that person on, hopefully. Right now, it's working great. There's not many issues with it. The one issue that we had was if the insurer name wrapped to the next page, the AI does not understand whether or not the insurer is wrapping to the next page. So to mitigate that, I worked with Christian. We got a list of the current insurers that we have, and we're able to update the list, and we'll be updating the list. And what it does is the AI will go out and check and make sure that the name matches the list exactly. So that's the way to mitigate the issue that we were running into with that. But other than that, all the other points of data that it was collecting, it's collecting.
It's been a great experience, right? I mean,
it has been. It's been going on since October.
It was just a draw.
It was
just a draw. There was no, okay.
It was just a draw. There was nothing that they could really do. The company that we were up against the last one spent billions. We don't spend billions with Microsoft in a year. So it was kind of, it's kind of like
a win-win. Actual W, but I'm giving her the asterisk W and saying you won.
You won. Yeah. Take it run. Yeah, I did. I wanted an actual win. I wanted it all, but it was. I mean, it's okay. As far as the efforts and the work that Microsoft put in, I'm super grateful for, because we wouldn't have been able to get to this point without it. And we had a couple team members on our team that helped out with it a lot, and Ariel and Dalton. Ariel's been doing a lot of the QC work and making sure and double checking, and so is Dalton. So I appreciate the work that they've put in to assist with this project.
Well, I mean, congratulations on just getting that whole thing started, and your efforts for that. Very much appreciated. Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item at this time? Ms. Stone, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Okay, thank you so much. I think before we adjourn, I would like to, we need to back up a little bit here. Mr. Kyle Rogers, I apologize. We should have had you introduce yourself at the very beginning of this meeting as a new member of our board. So will you just take a minute and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me. I look forward to meeting everyone in person. I was down here for the orientation yesterday, so I got to meet staff, and it was a warm welcome, and I appreciate everyone's time yesterday as well. I'm in Dallas area. I work for HF Sinclair, which is a mining company. I oversee the risk management and real estate group there. Been there for 13 or so years, but been in kind of the corporate risk management my whole career. My mother was in risk management. My father was a firefighter, so I've always been kind of in and around that whole concept of risk management. So. I got a lot to get up to speed on. It looks like you guys, I missed the busy quarter meeting last quarter. So this is a light quarter, so an easy introduction for me. But I got lots of notes and lots of things I need to get up to speed on. So I'll probably be reaching out to everyone at some point and asking questions and bugging and being annoying, but trying to fulfill my duties the best way I can. So appreciate you having me.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Welcome aboard. So we will go with agenda item 7, adjournment. If there is no other business before the board, do I hear a motion to adjourn? I want to stay all day.
Jeff Klein, so move.
Thank you, Jeff. May I have a second, please?
Everybody's
first. Pick one. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned at 10:41 a.m. on June 26, 2026. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. See you guys in September.
Have a great 4th.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
See ya.